And I know that change is tough. For a lot of people, it's scary, but it's also an opportunity. That's what I really want everyone to understand, is you actually have an opportunity, whether you're in finance or any other profession, to take advantage of this and actually create that future.
Hey gang, welcome back to Future Proof. We're up to, episode number, 161. Hard to believe. Thanks for being here, as always. I am your host. Bill Sheridan is my name. Listen, we got a good show this week, and we're going to get to it in just a second. First, let's start with this, shall we? This week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So this week's show, we're going to talk about AI, artificial intelligence, but we're going to do it from a slightly different angle. Usually when we talk about AI here in this profession, the conversation is all about automation and the things that AI has taken off our plate so we can create more value for our clients and customers. This week, we're going to look at it through the lens of AI's potential for doing good in our world. You know, the impact that it can have on really big global issues like poverty, hunger, climate change, sustainability, inequality, among many others. And more to the point for you, my dear listeners, what role accounting and finance might play in all of that. And with me today to have that conversation is Neil Sahota. Neil, interesting guy. He is an IBM master inventor, an AI advisor to the United Nations. He's chief innovation officer at UC Irvine, a best-selling author, among many, many other things. He's also a founding member for the UN's AI for Good initiative. Now, this is kind of a global community that's centered on identifying practical applications of AI to advance the UN's sustainable development goals and scale those solutions for global impact. And you can learn more about those sustainable goals on the UN's website. That's sdgs.un.org. But the idea of AI for sustainability, it kind of got me thinking about our profession's focus on ESG reporting. ESG, that's accounting for environmental, social, and governance risks and opportunities in investing, and that role that the role that AI is kind of playing in all of that. And a really kind of interesting article popped up in my feed recently. It's from S&P Global. They kind of laid all of that out. The article is called How Can AI Help ESG Investing? And I want to read you a bit of it. It's kind of interesting stuff. So it reads, quote, "At the crossroads of technology, innovation, and sustainability, artificial intelligence has the ability to make a dramatic impact on ESG investing. While AI can unearth key data for investors seeking sustainable investments, discerning unreliable information will be a key challenge, and humans will not be replaced anytime soon. Advances in AI," the article continues, "have made it easier than ever for computers to automate complex tasks at incredible speeds and volumes, thus revolutionizing how companies work with data. As AI, along with machine learning and robotics, have become commonplace and essential to the operations of mainstream organizations, leadership teams have found that failure to harness and leverage AI puts them behind the competition. Repeatable tasks are carried out by bots in a fraction of the time, and algorithms and computer programs can read information that might have previously been unusable due to its size or amount of garbage data. These AI capabilities will prove useful for ESG investing, which reflects the growing sensitivity of consumers to how companies operate as factors in their buying decisions, and is of increasing interest to investors who are concerned about companies adopting practices that will mitigate risk and ensure their long-term sustainability. Investment managers are coming under increasing pressure to measure ESG criteria in their portfolios. However, a lack of data is making it hard for banks to assess long-term risks and rewards. Here, AI is the answer. Technologies will filter essential data that investors currently lack, acting as the catalyst for sustainable investing at scale. Much of the potential for artificial intelligence in ESG investing comes from the sentiment analysis algorithms. These algorithms allow computers to analyze the tone of a conversation, a task that code could not as effectively do. Sentiment analysis programs might be trained to read a certain type of conversation and analyze the tone by comparing the words used as a reference set of existing information. For example, a program trained to read the transcripts of a company's quarterly earnings calls could determine the tone of the words when the CEO speaks, using natural language processing to easily identify in which parts of the conversation the CEO talks about ESG-related topics, and then infer from those words used how committed a company appears to be about mitigating environmental risks. If ESG investing involves considering the material opportunities and risks of sustainable decision-making, AI provides both tremendous benefits, and risks to watch out for. In short, while giving ESG investing the opportunity to grow and expand, AI can itself be an ESG risk for companies that aim to undertake that effort. End quote. And again, that's an excerpt from an S&P Global article called How Can AI Help ESG Investing? And really kind of interesting food for thought there about the role that AI is playing in all this. So, you know, this conversation about AI for good, it includes a good bit of discussion about finances roles in all of this. And Neil Cejota got down into the weeds with me about it this week. What AI for good actually is and what role accounting and finance might play in all this. So really good stuff here, and I'm glad you're here to listen. Interesting discussion this week. Here is my conversation with Neil Cejota. So Neil, thanks for being here. I guess my first question is, tell me a little bit about AI for good, about the initiative itself, and more importantly, like, how did this come about? Where did this start from?
Well, the AI for good is about using artificial intelligence and other emerging technology towards the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And those are actually 17 goals agreed upon by the member nations that they want to make reality by 2030. And that is things like zero hunger, good health, access to justice. I won't bore everyone, all 17, but essentially creating a better place for people and planet.
Mm-hmm. So, and how does this initiative work? Like, what, you know, I've been on the website, I've been looking around and seeing some of the areas where you're focusing on, but what are you actually doing to kind of drive this stuff forward?
So we've built an ecosystem. So this all started back in 2015 when I was asked to address the ambassadors, the General Assembly, the world leaders about kind of what is AI. And I talked a lot about what it could be done for public service. And this was on the heels of the, you know, the SDGs, as they're called, getting passed. One of the biggest challenges is while everyone wants these to happen, the commitment to the resources and the funding hasn't matched the promise. Mm-hmm. And so realizing that there's different ways to bridge this gap, it's actually about using technology as a tool, but also building essentially an ecosystem of partners and volunteers, which was something totally new for the UN, to actually drive solutions, not just like policy and regulation, actually create tools that people can actually use out there to improve things like farming, getting healthcare in like rural areas, all these things. And so that's actually the driver here is people and organizations coming together to essentially contribute their time, their knowledge, their equipment, whatever it might be, to actually create real solutions.
So this is kind of a global community of sorts? Is that what I'm hearing? People coming together and sharing ideas and learning what other people are doing and that type of thing? Is that kind of the gist?
So it's very much a global community is a great way to describe it, but it's more than just like sharing ideas. It's actually about doing. I know that sounds strange for a government entity, right? But that's actually the thing. And we took this from this really small idea back in, late 2015 to something that's just massive today, because there's 117 active projects going on right now. And we've added on to that, like we started the Innovation Factory, which is now under the AI for Good umbrella, which actually empowers social impact entrepreneurs. So it gives them access to capital, to equipment, to mentors, other things, so that they can actually accelerate the development of their own businesses. And this is the interesting thing, is that all these social impact entrepreneurs are trying to solve local problems, but I've learned that local problems have global solutions. Mm-hmm. So you got people like Malawi trying to solve things around getting people upskilled for jobs. Well, that's a problem that exists everywhere. You help some of those entrepreneurs out, they might build something that actually scales out across the world.
Right. So any have you seen any examples that you can share? How is AI kind of being used for good in the world today? What kind of things have you seen arise out of this initiative?
There's a lot I can pull from. So I'll start with the oldest profession, which is agriculture and farming. So we've actually built very simple tools where you don't need high-speed computing. You don't need like a high, 5G connection or anything like that, but simple tools for farmers where the AI can help analyze access to water, topsoil contents, predict weather, insect infestation. And we've been able to go to places like, Bangladesh, for example, where they have very little arable land. They're actually now able to grow 30% more food using 20% less water, 10% less topsoil resources. So we've been able to spike the abundance of food to the level where even the AI will just say, if you plant this type of seed 2 millimeters to the right, you'll actually increase the crop yield by this much.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's something that, as people we've been doing for over 50,000 years, here's a nice little supplement to let us do more with less. Mm-hmm. There's a big thing going on right now with sound data. And so there's actually an organization called Rainforest Connection that is actually tapping into that, where AI is listening for different sounds. So not just the traditional, animal life or wildlife in the rainforest, but also listening for sounds of poachers or listening for the sound of like chainsaws or things for like illegal deforestation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing stuff. I mean, does a lot of this play into issues as big as like global warming? Or things like that?
They do. So I can actually tell you, Bill, that I actually co-chair one of the UN committees on climate change and technology. So sometimes the big problems need really big solutions. Mm-hmm. So those are things we're looking for to see, like, are there things we can do, not just in trying to make more green technology, but are things that we can use technology to counter-affect climate change? Mm-hmm. Or even can we use that to help, influence people's behavior? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many things we do, if we don't change some of the things that we are doing in terms of behaviors, it's a rough boat. And one of the things we're actually focused on is micro actions. Mm-hmm. We believe that everybody has at least one small thing they're willing to do. The challenge is helping them find that matchmaking is a struggle. And second, do people, I hate to say it this way, like they're like, well, even if I do this one small thing, am I really moving the needle?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, by yourself, that one small thing, probably not, but it's about aggregates. Mm-hmm. I always like it to the water bottle filling stations. It's like, I fill my bottle here and maybe I save a plastic bottle and be like, big deal.
Right.
There's a counter on some of them. And I always look at that counter. It's like, wow, this month, I and everybody else who used this station have saved over 2 million plastic bottles. Mm-hmm. That's the power of the aggregate. That's the story we need to share.
That's a really good point. So that idea of micro actions, this all sounds like it's related to AI to advance what you said, those sustainable development goals that the UN has developed globally, and finance professionals. So our audience today, they're paying greater and greater attention to like ESG reporting, right? Financial reporting that centers on environmental, social, and government issues. So I'm kind of curious. Do you see any parallels here? Ways in which our profession, finance and accounting, can play a role in this movement for using AI for good?
100%. One of the SDGs is actually around sustainable finance.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. So tell me a little bit about that.
It's about trying to enable opportunity. And so that's more than just let's give people some money and these kinds of things, but it's about trying to create economic opportunity. Mm-hmm. So, part of like AI for Good is there's an organization called Mosabi. And one of the things that they've been doing is microloans. So you look at some places like Paraguay or like Malawi or some of these places where you have a small business in a village or a small town. If they got $200-$300 loan, they could improve their shop, maybe hire someone, sell more, generate things for the local community. And historically, what would happen is you'd have a banker, they'll walk around and they would look and help people understand. And, you fill out the paperwork and that person would come back, 3 months later because they're traveling around. And so what Mosabi realized was like, well, can we accelerate this? There's a prevalence of mobile devices, can be something low band, low key. And so they built that. Mm-hmm. The challenge is that a lot of the people that could have taken advantage of the program didn't know what they could actually do. So they couldn't understand the opportunity. And so they decided to solve that by actually giving away free financial literacy education. So they actually built a localized thing using AI where people actually learn some basics about economics and finance and ask questions about their store and help them actually identify these opportunities. If they saw something, then they could actually apply through the app for that microloan. And so what they found was that not only shaved down the cycle time to get a loan, it actually improved the output of the number of people who realized they could take advantage of it. They also saw the repayment of the loan shoot up to over 90%.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, you're singing our tune now. I mean, financial literacy has been one of the things that this profession has been focused on for years, and trying to get people to have a better understanding of how finance works and their money. And what you're saying is that we can use AI to kind of improve that literacy across the globe.
100%. And I think the big thing with the AI is the dynamic interaction, right? It's not like just following this path or talking to a chatbot, but the ability to actually localize the experience that when you go through this kind of training, you can see people that look like you and are in a place that looks like your village or your city or whatever it might be. So you connect better with it. You feel like, this really is for me.
That's really cool. So I saw a video interview with you before we got on here, and you were speaking about what I thought was a really interesting concept, society 2.0. Okay. So how AI, in other words, is helping us kind of unlock our own humanity. And that really kind of piqued my interest. Tell me a little bit about what you mean by all that.
A lot of people think it's a misnomer, but I feel like AI is actually making us more human. That's the thing, is everything becomes intelligent and interconnected and automated, and we have all these new capabilities. It's actually transforming us and how we actually not just work, but how we live. Mm-hmm. It's pushing us to what I call actually hybrid intelligence, where human abilities are getting supplemented by machine capabilities, allowing us to kind of free up and work on more complex or value-added tasks. And one of the examples I like to share with people about we're becoming more human is there's actually an initiative going on in Nairobi right now called Loving AI. Probably not what the audience thinks.
Right.
But at least before the pandemic, the biggest illness in the world was actually loneliness.
Oh, no kidding.
About 40% of the world, at least back then, suffered from moderate to severe loneliness. And so what they were doing at Loving AI was saying, could we create an AI system that where people could feel like they could go here and the AI would give them, have, you know, unconditional love. So essentially a safe space, a way to feel connected and belong, not a substitute for human relationships, but give people the confidence to actually build those. Mm-hmm. And in trying to do this, what we realized was, well, you can only teach AI when it's commoditizable, right? So we have to be able to explain unconditional love to a machine. But what does that actually mean? Right. And we're thinking like, yeah, what is unconditional love? How do you quantify that? And is unconditional love different than like regular love? And what is regular love? Because you have the love between like two spouses, parent and child, siblings, between friends. And so it became this really deep exploration into what it actually means to be human and the human condition. Like, what is this love and how does it drive us? Because we don't understand how we teach the machine. And so this became more than just a research project trying to combat loneliness. It became this really deep exploration on the human psyche.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, you know, I've had conversations here before with, you know, leadership leaders like Tom Peters, for instance, who talks often about, you know, in this age of exponential kind of technological advances and AI and all that stuff, that he believes that the key skills that we're going to need in order to remain relevant going forward are really human skills, right? They're not technological skills. Because technology is going to be crunching the numbers and all that, but the skills that we're going to need going forward are those skills that bring people together. And here you're saying that there's some potential for technology to actually kind of play a role in all of that.
Look, there is. I totally agree with that. I've been working with, you know, several school districts and boards of education and working on creating programs, but everyone's like, what's the future of work? What do you need to know? And it's like, it doesn't matter what job you have, you're gonna have to be good at problem solving, critical thinking, creativity, communication, collaboration. Mm-hmm. Those are a lot of human skills. Machines aren't going to do the thinking for us. They can't think on their own. You know, I know people worry about the Terminator situation. That doesn't exist. There are things that machines can do for us that allow us to be doing more of this complicated work. Like, think about innovative solutions. I'm sure there's a lot of people in finance that wish that people just understood some of the basics a lot better, at least risk management, because just looking at my own friends, when the market is strong, everyone thinks they're a risk seeker, right? I can absorb a lot of risk, higher return. And when the market starts dipping down, like, whoa!
Right. You know? Absolutely. Oh my gosh. So really, I mean, our goal in all this during kind of this AI revolution should be to become more human than ever. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's our strong suit. Yeah. Yeah. We don't know how to teach machines creativity. We don't know how to teach them to be philosophers, right? There are things that, yeah, machines are better than humans at, but there's a lot of things that people are better than AI. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's where we got to focus. If your thing is like, well, I really want to be a truck driver or a taxi driver. That's great, but machines are much better drivers than human beings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Period. Unfortunately, that's the reality. But maybe there's something. Maybe if you're into the driving, maybe you can think about just a way to design better cars, better vehicles.
And it's kind of interesting. I mean, you know, every kind of industrial revolution that we've come across has kind of pushed humans out of their current comfort zones and forced them to learn new skills and to remain relevant in this new kind of current reality. And it sounds like that's simply what's happening again now. We're in another kind of revolution like that.
We are. We always say that AI is triggering the fourth industrial revolution. I mean, think about this, Bill. In 1900, about 80% of the world were farmers. Mm-hmm. Today it's about 2%, right? Yep. We don't worry about we have food, we actually have more access to food, and it's cheaper. It's not like the world went out of, you know, went out of into unemployment. It was just like we freed up our time to do different things. Mm-hmm. Right. And a lot of people say, like, well, why is technology advancing so rapidly? It's like we freed up people to do more value add things.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, I think that's the thing. It's all these triggers. And I know that change is tough for a lot of people. It's scary, but it's also an opportunity. That's what I really want everyone to understand is you actually have an opportunity. Whether you're in finance or any other profession, to take advantage of this and actually create that future.
Yeah. What does, well, speaking of the future, what does the future of artificial intelligence look like to you? I mean, where is all this leading?
That's a great question, Bill. Aside from AI getting intertwined into pretty much most things we do in our lives, there's a really big and growing field called artificial empathy. So where the machines may not actually feel the emotions, they're actually good at detecting and dynamically responding to those emotions in people. Mm-hmm. And so as we talk about the experience and all these things and the mental health aspects, we're essentially creating very powerful, empathetic, you know, machines, avatars, chatbots, robots to actually engage with. And the ironic thing is, you know, in my own experience is that people are more honest with the AI system than they are with a human being.
No kidding.
Yeah, because they feel like they're not being judged, Bill.
Yeah.
And so you talk about, like, you're a financial planner, for example, and you're wondering, you know, hey, is this person, you're doing the risk profile, are they really this risk-seeking, or are they just telling me what they think I want to hear? The AI does a lot better job, and the ones that have become more empathetic, they actually, people feel more comfortable, actually share more real things.
Wow.
So that's like, yeah, I have trouble saving money, or I don't really have anything for retirement, or, you know, we're actually planning to have 5 kids, and, you know.
That's really interesting. I mean, you know, we talk a lot about the importance of us kind of learning and mastering and nurturing those human skills. And it sounds like machines are starting to learn those same skills at the same time. I mean, how long before, you know, AI can do some of those things like strategic and critical thinking and communication and those types of things?
Some of those things are already happening. There's AI systems that are really good at reading body language, decoding what you say, like through neurolinguistics, even taking the tone and inflection of your voice, applying what we call psychographics. So actually generating a personality profile on you that they actually know. There are AI systems that know what you value. Mm-hmm. What connects with you, like what channel communicate, what rewards or incentives to even offer that would be meaningful to you.
Interesting.
And even can coach other people on, like, you need to use these words with this person. Like, yeah, you're talking to Bill for whatever reason, you know, helps is not going to support him here, or helps is not the right word to use. Support is a better word for Bill because this is what he actually cares about. Mm-hmm. And so I know a lot of people get a little freaked out saying, like, oh, well, are we only going to talk with machines? No, not at all. I think actually what we've created is a AI communication coach to help us as people actually communicate and engage with our people more effectively.
Interesting.
And I think as we do that, we'll pick up on some of those skills and do that better on our own. And at some point, we'll elevate beyond the machine and have to reteach the machine.
Wow. That's a really good point. So, what about the future of AI in finance? Where do you see kind of our profession progressing in terms of its use of these technologies?
That's another great question. Right now, there's a lot of focus on, like, education, so like basic concepts about mortgages, you know, saving for college or retirement, or just even like how economic models work. Mm-hmm. But also, I think now you're seeing more being done for risk profiling, basic information collection. So, you know, interesting enough, Chase, bank has actually introduced AI concierge on their mobile app. Hmm. And it's actually powered by some of this artificial empathy technology.
Oh, wow.
And okay. So as you engage more with the AI, it kind of learns more about you and your interests. So it'll start, if you like to joke around with you. Or if you're like me, who's really into sports, it'll start using more sports metaphors when it tries to explain stuff.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So it's creating a lot more personalized, individualized experience. So it's trying to talk your language so you actually understand what's going on. And if you realize, yeah, maybe there's something I want to do or something that's gotten to a point that's too complicated for the AI to understand, then connect you with the person to actually take the next steps. But lead, essentially becoming a lead generator for financial service products, mm-hmm. that's going to be the future of AI.
No kidding. That's a really something interesting to look forward to. So tell me, Neil, what do you have your eye on next? I know you're kind of casting a wide net in terms of what's to come. What do you think is the next big thing here?
Actually, I think it's using AI for very large, complex problem solving. Mm-hmm. So like right now, I'm actually working with ACSI Labs, and we've actually developed an AI system and using a virtual world, but AI is actually helping mining companies extract like ore, oil, gas in a more environmentally friendly fashion. Mm-hmm. So they can actually, the AI actually look at things, coach them, figure these things out to find the most optimal way to obviously help them generate money, but also reduce the environmental impact to the lowest possible point.
That's really, that's incredible. Right back to that notion of AI for good, right?
Yep.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, Neil, thanks for being here. Keep doing that important work. We need it more than ever. And I appreciate your time and your insights. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Bill. Have fun.
All right, great stuff there from Neil Sahota. Neil is an IBM master inventor and AI advisor to the United Nations, chief innovation officer at UC Irvine, best-selling author. He's also a founding member of the UN's AI for Good initiative, and you can learn more about that project at aiforgood.itu.int. And you can find out more about Neil Sahota at neilsahota.com. That's neilsahota.com. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And here we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's all I got, gang. Thanks for being here. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.